أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا يحسبن الذين كفروا سبقوا إنهم لا يعجزون وأعدوا لهم ما استطعتم من قوة ومن رباط الخيل ترهبون به عدو الله وعدوكم وآخرين من دونهم لا تعلمونهم الله يعلمهم وما تنفقوا من شيء في سبيل الله يوفى إليكم وأنتم لا تظلمون وإن جنحوا للسلم فاجنح لها وتوكل على الله إنه هو السميع العليم. We discuss from ayah number 59 to 61 of Surah Al-Anfal. The first ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the disbelievers, especially those disbelievers that survived the battle of Badr. There were those that renegated from the battlefield. There were others that had not participated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to about them. And Allah says, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Those who disbelieve should not perceive, should not understand. سَبَقُوا, that they have gone forth. In other words, they have achieved. إِنَّهُمْ لَا يُعْجِزُونَ. Certainly they have not frustrated the plan of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In other words, they were unable to undo the plan of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now with regards to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says an ayah that is often misunderstood, an ayah sometimes that is taken out of context. Let us try and understand it in the context of the Quran and the Hadith of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and prepare against them مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, as much as you can, as much as is possible, مِنْ قُوَّةٍ, insofar as the strength of your power is concerned. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about here? It is clear, it is the preparation of jihad fi sabilillah. This is a compulsion, and in the hadith, jihad will carry on till the day of qiyamah. There is no escape from the realities of jihad. It is very clear, if we do not participate in any aspect of deen, it doesn't make that an unreality in deen. It is still a reality. If we do not participate in the work of jihad fi sabilillah, it doesn't mean that jihad is nothing. Jihad is a reality. It is in the Quran Sharif. It is in the ahadith of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is insofar as the participation is concerned. Here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is speaking about the preparation that as an ummah we should have and we ought to have prepared for jihad all the time and a continuous preparation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this word mastata'tum, and so far as you is possible for you, as much as you can do. This is in actually when we look at what the enemy of Islam is doing, we do not really have to compare with them, but we have to make our preparations. And our preparation will be according to our own ability, according to our own strength, and then we will place our tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala speaks about this word al-quwwah in this ayah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he interpreted this word al-quwa at that time in Medina Munawwara, in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ala inna al-quwata ar-ramyu. Listen very carefully. Al-quwa, the power of your strength lies in ar-ramyu. Ramyu actually would refer in those days to archery. So the ulama have stated that when we looked at combat in those days, one is archery, one was sword fighting, one was throwing of the spears. But obviously to keep the enemy at bay, and when the enemy would be at a distance, you are at an advantage, and that was when archery was used. So out of the three forms of combat, the greatest and the better form of combat, or the best form of combat, would have been that of archery, and from here it has been categorically deduced without any difference of opinion that whatever is in vogue at a particular time, insofar as weaponry is concerned, insofar as machinery is concerned, in far as the weapons of war is concerned, whatever is in vogue should have been adopted by this ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ulama have also written, min quwa refers to every aspect. Number one, the manufacturing of weapons, the transportation of weapons, how to use that weapons, the training of the people for those weapons, all of that has been included in this ayah, and hence we find that when the ummah became lax in this, we found the downfall of the ummah of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says that there is another aspect to it, وَمِنْ رِبَاتِ الْخَيْلِ, and insofar as training horses are concerned. Now again, horses were being used in those days, and hence we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, Allah ta'ala had contextualized it in that particular time. When it came to quwwah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had left it open till the day of qiyamah. The training of horses will mean that a person has to rear a horse, a person has to keep a horse, and this also shows that insofar as weaponry is concerned, a person has to have the expertise in using all of that. Now, Allah Ta'ala does not say you prepare to fight. Allah Ta'ala does not say that you prepare to attack the enemy. What Allah Ta'ala is saying, تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ عَدُوَ اللَّهِ وَعَدُوَكُمْ, through it you will strike fear in the hearts of the enemy of Allah and in your enemy. No doubt in the fact that a war will be fought, whether it was a modern war, an ancient war, there would be spies, there would be people that are looking at what the enemies are preparing, and when they come to know about your preparations and they know that you are well prepared, then obviously it will strike terror into their hearts, and that terror is sufficient. Now this terror got nothing to do with terrorism whatsoever. It is not that we have to go around terrorizing people, bomb blast, etc. This is just to create that fear in their hearts, so it will keep them at bay, and hence in this way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection will be in the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We find so many ahadith. Just one example, one kind of booty had come in, it comes into the hands of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends some sahaba, he sends them as far as Syria to go buy weaponry and come back to Medina Munawwara. These were all the steps that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taken. Now you're in the enemy of Allah and your enemy, then Allah Ta'ala says, wa akharina min dunihim, and there are other enemies besides those enemies that are known to you. Here probably and possibly Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was speaking about the enmity that would come about from the Banu Qurayza, the Yahud of Medina Munawwara. However, ulama have stated that this referred to, besides the Quraysh of Makkah, besides the Jews of Medina, it also referred to the Romans and the Persians, that they were also the enemy of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But obviously in the early parts of Islam, when these ayats were revealed, their enmity was not known to the Sahaba, so Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala spoke about it. Otherwise, wherever the enemy may be lying, لا تعلمونهم, you do not know them. You do not know who your enemies are. That is why Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah used to say that from wisdom is this, that you know who your enemy is. And that is the difficulty the ummah has today, that we don't know our enemies, or if we do know them, we have befriended them. Allahu ya'lamuhum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows well who they are. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying, in order to have the arms and ammunition and the weaponry and all of that, there is an amount of spending that has to go, especially in these days, scientifically, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ, whatever you spend, فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, in the path of Allah, يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill it. In other words, Allah ta'ala will replace it. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ. And you will not be wronged. In other words, Allah will not shortchange you. Allah ta'ala will give you your full recompense. And Allah ta'ala will give you even more. However, in the next ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also made it clear. وَإِنْ جَنَحُوا لِلسَّلْمِ فَاجْنَحْ لَهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. If the enemy is inclined towards a peace treaty, then Allah Ta'ala is addressing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, فَجْنَحْ لَهَا, then you also incline towards it. Here Allah Ta'ala did not compel Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that if they want a peace treaty, you have to have a peace treaty. If they are inclined towards it, you can also incline. In other words, Allah has left this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Amirul Mu'mineen to use their discretion, their experience, their knowledge, their wisdom, whether it is good to have a peace treaty or not. And from here, we have deduced also that going to war, to jihad, it is not about spilling blood. It is not about creating terror. It is about creating a situation in which people will embrace the deen of Islam. Jihad is li'ala kalimatillah. The word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remains dominant. And if people now, there is a peace treaty, the interaction between Muslims and others become frequented, then they see our akhlaq and they accept Islam, then whatever the objective is, has all been fulfilled. وَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And place your tawakkul in Allah. You may have the apprehensions that they will break the treaty. For that you keep your tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Certainly Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He is as-sami'. Allah ta'ala is all-hearing. Al-alim. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is all-knowing. May Allah ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.